anything that's being faced by one part of the body of Christ is being faced by all of it.
This is Family Policy Matters Focus on Faith Edition with Thomas Graham, Pastor Outreach Director for NC Family. Join us once a month as Pastor Graham shines some light on the intersection between our Christian faith and engaging our culture.
Thank you for joining us for this week's special Focus on Faith edition of Family Policy Matters. Today we will be discussing racism and the responsibility we Christians have to address it as sin. Our guest today is Russell Moore. Russell is the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, the moral and public policy agency of the nation's largest Protestant denomination. He is a frequent cultural commentator, and the Wall Street Journal has called him vigorous, cheerful, and fiercely articulate. He is the author of several books, including Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. He is an ordained Southern Baptist minister, a theologian by background, native Mississippian, husband, and father of five sons. Russell Moore, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you on the show today, sir.
Well, it's an honor to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Russell, let's just plunge right in here. What exactly is racism, and why is it raised to the level of being a sin?
Well, racism is whenever a person or a group prizes his or her or their ethnic identity above others. And that can manifest itself in terms of personal relationships. That can manifest itself in terms of community organization. That can manifest itself in terms of legal or system arrangements. But it's a way of prioritizing one's own ethnic background as having some sort of privilege or superiority over others. And the reason that this is a sin is because we understand and know that all people are created in the image of God. And so the Bible tells us that when we sin against our neighbor who's made in the image of God, we're sinning against God. And so we're assaulting picture that God has put in the world of himself.
Excellent. Is racism a uniquely American problem or sin?
No, I think we see racism and the roots of racism going back all the way to Cain and Abel. When you have Cain, who is seeking that idolatry of the self, wanting to put himself in a superior position over Abel because of his resentment toward his brother. And then we see that manifesting itself over and over and over again in the scriptures. And God is having to continually remind his people that humanity is a whole. I mean, even right when you come into the New Testament, and there's a great deal of opposition to the gospel going to the nations. And you see even in Galatians 2, the Apostle Paul confronting even Simon Peter, the magnificent apostle chosen by our Lord, is confronted because he wouldn't eat with Gentiles.
Wow.
So I don't think it's a uniquely American issue, but it certainly is bound up in American history from the very beginning.
Russell, today, when we look at racism, could you discuss or share your view on some of the root causes of racism and how we can more effectively address those?
Well, I think the primary main root cause is idolatry. There's something within all of us that wants to say, I am better, and I am greater, and I am more deserving, and I am more entitled than anyone else. And so I think that's the root cause. And then I think it manifests itself in lots of different ways. And I think one of the problems that sometimes white Christians will have is thinking that because there's not a sense of personal rage against people of other ethnicities, then that means that these issues are just not a concern.
Right.
When in reality, often these issues of racial differentiation show up even in what one notices.
Mm.
So I mean, I had a pastor friend, African-American pastor friend, we were sharing prayer requests one day, and he said, pray for me because my son is going off to college. He said that I'm helping him with his applications, and there's one particular school that I don't want him to go to because I just don't think it would be safe for him as a young black man to be in this particular place. Hmm. And I realized that moment, that was something that I would never have to even think about as,
right.
as I'm working through college options for a son.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the manifestations there.
Very interesting. Russell, do you think the awareness of racism and the efforts to curb it, do you think they're moving in a positive direction or a negative direction in recent years?
I think both. I think that we see some positive things, obviously, that have happened over the last 50 years in terms of civil rights, voting rights. We don't have segregated lunch counters anymore. We have a great deal of progress that has been made. On the other hand, we also see, not just in the United States, but all around the world, racial hatred and racial injustice continuing to
yes.
happen.
Yes.
And one of the problems is sometimes it becomes even worse when we assume, well, all that's behind us. It's
right.
all been taken care of, so we can just move on.
Right, right. Who needs to come together, do you think? And who is coming together to address racism in society today?
Well, I think all sorts of groups need to come together and talk with one another and work together. But I think the primary place that I'm concerned about is within local congregations,
hmm.
because the Bible speaks of the local church as being more than just a gathering of people together. It's
yes.
Ephesians 3 sign to the principalities and powers. And one of the key manifestations of that sign is unity of people who
yes.
Who may have nothing else in common except for the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so, and as long as Martin Luther King famously said, 11 o'clock on Sundays is the most segregated hour in America.
Hmm.
We're really not sending that message to the devil of what the unity of Christ actually achieves.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Do you think it is possible for a country like America that has such atrocities as slaveries and lynchings and segregation in its history to ever move past those hurts into a completely healed and unified community?
I think so. If with that comes repentance and constant awareness of what has happened in the past and what could happen in the future.
Yes.
So I think of it, at a personal level, I have a friend who was addicted to alcohol and drugs before he came to know the Lord. And he had just a remarkable turnaround. And one of the things that happened with that is that he now is devoting his life to ministering to people who are in the situation he was in terms of substance abuse. And at the same time, he recognizes his own vulnerability. And so he's watching his own heart and his own life all the time and putting protections in place so that he doesn't go backward.
Yes.
I think the same thing applies to a society in many ways. In many ways, a society that has dealt with these issues of injustice sometimes is able to then speak to them
sure.
out of one's own experience, out of a country's own experience, but also having to constantly watch and say, how did we get into the situation? How do we avoid getting into it again?
Yes. Russell, how would you encourage those on the receiving end of racism to respond?
Well, I would encourage them to, as Dr. King pointed out, silence only continues oppression.
Yes.
And so the response is not to respond with more hatred and more evil. Obviously, Romans 12, you don't overcome. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. But that doesn't mean you overcome evil with silence or with just a shrug of the shoulders and this is the way that it's supposed to be or this is just the way it is. Who can do anything about it? Instead, I think the response needs to be one that says, my response here is going to build precedence for people who are going to come along in the future.
Yes.
So if you have someone, for instance, in a workplace who is dealing with racial discrimination, that person coming forward and saying, this is not right, is not just speaking up for himself or herself, but also for whoever else might be in that workplace coming down the line.
Now, if we think about racism and the ever-expanding loss of respect for the dignity of human person in our culture today, how does racism fit into that context?
Well, you can see a common thread, whether one is looking at, for instance, people suggesting that Down syndrome, that babies with Down syndrome ought to be, ought never to be allowed to be born, or people who are suggesting that those who have disabilities or terminally ill shouldn't be allowed to have life, or those who would suggest that we shouldn't really care about the way that the pornography industry is trafficking and dehumanizing women. All of those issues, I think, are built on a fundamentally satanic view of humanity.
Yes.
That says that human worth and human value is determined by power, and power as the world defines power, which is, of course, as Christians, that's exactly the opposite of what we believe as those who follow a crucified Christ, who believe that power comes through weakness.
Yes.
And so we don't judge who is valuable based upon, well, what does society see as strong right now, whether that's in terms of physical strength or whether that's in terms of numbers of people. We have a different view.
Yes, yes, yes. And I'm sure you, in your place of service to the body of Christ at large, but even within the context of your own denomination, you've played a major role in helping Christians, God's people, to understand that they have a responsibility to play in addressing the topic of racism. As we begin to close out this interview today, Russell, would you mind just commenting about that? What role are Christians of all denominations called to play in addressing the topic of racism?
Well, I think the main thing is what the Scripture calls us to in Galatians chapter 6, which is to bear one another's burdens.
Amen.
And so that means that we need white Christians who are asking the question, what burdens are being borne right now by my black brothers and sisters in Christ, or my Hispanic brothers and sisters in Christ, or others.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that means that's my issue too, because anything that's being faced by one part of the body of Christ is being faced by all of it. And so I think that's the primary issue. And then also just saying I need to be constantly asking, whether personally or congregationally or in terms of my place as a citizen, where am I contributing to this sort of injustice? And how do I then work to undo that?
Yes. Russell, I'm sure our listeners are really going to appreciate the value of your remarks today, and I so thank you. As we bring this interview to a close, where can our listeners go to learn more about this topic and in particular your work?
Well, we're going to be hosting a big conference in Memphis coinciding with the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King about how the gospel speaks to all of these issues, MLK 50, the first week of April. And listeners could find out about that at our website, erlc.com, and we'd love to see some of them there.
Well, Russell, thank you so very much for being with us on Family Policy Matters today and for your courageous and faithful work. God bless you, my friend.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for having me. It's been an honor to be with you.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, Focus on Faith Edition with Thomas Graham, Pastor Outreach Director for NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.